Anyways, happy Mother's Day. Wow, right? I echo the video. What an amazing day to celebrate moms and mom figures in our lives, right? And so we want to celebrate each of you in the room. We're so grateful for you. And we want to just say thank you for the ways that you pour into the people in your lives all around you, moms. We really appreciate you. You know, for many of us, Mother's Day, it's a day of celebrating, right? Our moms and some very special people in our lives. It's a day of family gatherings and gifts and loving on our mothers. But then for some of us, it's a day that's got some difficult dynamics, right? For some of us, maybe it's a day where it reminds us of a mother that we lost, or it reminds us of some dysfunction in our relationship with our mom, or you know, either our mom or us with our kids, or maybe it is a reminder of the fact that we weren't able to have kids of our own, or maybe it's a reminder of, you know, you never had the mom you wish that you had, that you felt like you needed. You know, there's some difficult dynamics around Mother's Day. I just want to acknowledge that this morning, and I think the video did a good job of just acknowledging that too. But you know, despite these difficulties and these dynamics around Mother's Day, I want to share just a couple things before I get into the Word of God for this morning for all of us. I want to share just a couple things that I know for sure, and I want to encourage all of you in the room with this. First of all, despite these difficult dynamics that can sometimes be around Mother's Day, I believe God wants to encourage your heart no matter where you're at. God wants to encourage your heart. Maybe you wish you were a mom and you haven't had that opportunity, or you know, maybe you're a mom who's kind of discouraged or in a place where you feel like you're at the end of your own strength, right? Whatever place you are at in life, God wants to encourage your heart today. I believe he wants to bless you and show you that he's in control, that he has grace for you, that he has strength for you in this journey. You know, and some of you mothers find yourself on Mother's Day like, wow, I don't know if I feel worthy of being celebrated. And I know I sometimes feel that way on Father's Day, but God, you know, says that we are worthy. And so I think we need to celebrate and honor each other. I felt like a word from God for you today was out of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. And I want you ladies in the room, I want this to be God's encouragement to you personally today. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I like that picture, right? Christ's power resting on each of you. Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so it's this thought that coming to the end of yourself is the beginning of God's grace. And so I just want you to be encouraged, ladies in the room, wherever you are at, that coming to the end of yourself is actually the beginning of God's grace. Where our strength ends, God's strength begins. Right? And so we need to actually lean into that truth and just receive that. I pray that God encourages your heart with that this morning. Also, the second thing I know for sure about Mother's Day is that God wants us to honor the mothers in our lives, right? I believe that we're called to honor everyone. And so that's no exception on Mother's Day. You know, despite the difficult dynamics and some of the sensitivity around Mother's Day, it can't keep us from honoring the moms in our lives. And so we look at Romans 12, verse 10. Like I said, we're called to love and honor each other. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. And then I like what it says, outdo one another in showing honor. It almost gives this kind of competition kind of a feel, right? Outdo one another in honoring each other. And so that's the approach that we want to have, right? As we celebrate Mother's Day, and like I said, there might be some difficult relational things in your life, but just know that this is a calling that we have to outdo one another in showing honor. So today, mothers, mother figures, we honor you, we bless you. I love this quote from President Theodore Roosevelt. He said this, "The good mother, the wise mother, is more important to the community than even the ablest person. Her career is more worthy of honor and is more useful to the community than the career of any other person, no matter how successful." I love that picture, and I believe that to be true, right? God created family to be at the heart of society, and he created mothers to be at the heart of family. And so as a pastor, as your pastor, I want to empower you, live out this amazing calling that you have to love and nurture and disciple your children to be men and women of God. You know, it's a job like no other, and it's vital to the church. It's vital to the community. It's vital to our society as a whole. You have a critical role to play. And some of you are thinking, well, my kids are out of the house and they're gone and raised. Well, we know it never ends, right? Those of you that have kids that have kind of grown up, you know, right? It never really ends. And I can speak from someone who is grown up and out of the house, but I need my mom. You know, I need the mother figures in my life to continue to speak into my life. And so don't forget that you have this amazing role to play. So I want to actually start this morning off by praying for all the mothers and mother figures in the room. And so if you are a mother or a mother figure, could you stand? I know maybe that takes you out of your comfort zone, but if you could stand, we'd love to just make sure that we have some people around each of you. So could some of you, rest of us now, let's stand, look around, see who's standing right now, and just make your way around and make sure we have at least one person putting a hand on the shoulder of one of the mothers that's standing, okay? Can you do that? Everybody just gather around. Don't be shy. We're just a family together. I want to celebrate our moms today. I hope everybody has someone praying for them. Let me just lead us in prayer. God, we're so grateful for each of these moms and each of these mom figures that have this amazing role. God, we know that you structured society to be family, to be at the heart of society, and mothers at the heart of the family. And so, God, we ask that you would bless each mom in this room today. Bless them, God. Fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your anointing and your empowerment. God, that they would feel just an empowerment from you to fulfill every part of the calling that you have on their life. Father, would you encourage hearts today? If there's discouragement in any of these hearts today, God, would you encourage and would you bless? Would you meet them exactly where they are? Help them to see again, God, and be reminded. Help them to receive this as a personal rhema, a word in season from you, that your grace is sufficient. That means your power is sufficient. Your power is made perfect in their weakness. So bless each mother. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless that mom and then have a seat. Yeah. You guys good? Awesome. We want to have a culture of celebration, right? I think it's so important as a church and as individuals as well. I was thinking about a sermon topic for Mother's Day. And, one of the things that I was thinking about is how relevant it is to talk about influence on Mother's Day. And so I titled the message Influential. And it's this thought, this idea of stewarding our influence. You know, we all have influence. We all have a sphere of influence. And so this message it's for moms, but it's also for everyone in the room because we all have a sphere of influence. People, kids, family, coworkers, people that we come in contact with, people that we are influencing in our lives. We are all being influenced, right? But we are also all influencers. How many of you have considered yourself an influencer? That's like a common word in our society now, right? Like on Instagram and other social media, this is typically someone who can sometimes even make a living being an influencer, right? You've probably heard that term. Someone who might even sell things on social media or influence people towards something, right? So an influencer, I don't know if you've considered yourself to be an influencer before. Tell someone next to you, I'm an influencer. I'm an influencer. Yeah. Maybe not on social media, but you are an influencer. You know, we all have a sphere of influence. I want to share this quote, though, because before I move on from the whole social media thing, I thought it was funny. Being famous on Instagram is like being rich in Monopoly. it's kind of like that, right? I just had to take a quick little shot at the social media influencers. Anyways, I think it's funny. I'm an influencer, right? But seriously, we are influencers, right? And whether you see that yourself that way or not, and maybe many of us aren't on social media, I know I'm definitely not a social media influencer, but I have a sphere of influence, and you have a sphere of influence. And our actions, we can't forget, our actions and our choices in life impact other people. You know, sometimes we have a very individualistic kind of mindset around this. That we think that our actions and the decisions that we make and the way that we decide to do life and walk through life only impacts us. And we have this individualistic mindset, right? That we're kind of only really, you know, it's really only impacting us, but the reality is that it's not. We can't be individualistic in this way. We have to realize for the good or for the bad, we are leaving a trail as we walk through life. We're leaving a trail. We can't hide the footsteps that we're leaving behind us. If you've ever walked through the woods or someplace or through a field where there's soft dirt, right? You leave a trail, you leave footprints. And if you just have that mental image in your mind, that's kind of how it is when we walk through life. And those footprints, they remain. Right? And we can't hide those footprints. We leave footprints. Another way to say it is we have this ripple effect. You know, if you picture a rock being thrown in the water, you know, that ripple effect in the water of that rock, that splash that happens, right? That's kind of our lives. We have a ripple effect, and we don't know sometimes how far those ripples actually go, right? Like, none of us really, truly, fully understand how far our influence actually reaches. Have you ever thought about that, right? Our influence is this ripple effect. The decisions we make, the actions we take, they have an effect on other people all around us to an extent that we probably don't even realize. I came across a short story recently that kind of shows us this ripple effect, and I want to read it to you. In the early 19th century, there was a humble Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. He had a heart for reaching young people with the gospel. He faithfully taught a class of rowdy boys in his church in Boston. One day he felt a burden for a particular young man in his class named Dwight. Dwight was a teenager who seemed rough around the edges, often getting into trouble and causing mischief, but Edward saw potential in him and felt compelled to share the message of Christ's love with him. One afternoon, Edward visited Dwight at the shoe store where he worked. Nervously, he approached the young man and began to talk to him about Jesus. In that simple conversation, Edward shared the gospel with Dwight and invited him to accept Christ as his Savior. Dwight listened intently to Edward's words, and something stirred within him. He realized the depth of God's love for him and the forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ. In that moment, Dwight made a decision to follow Christ and surrendered his life to him. That seemingly small act of reaching out to Dwight made a profound impact on his life. Dwight L. Moody, as he became known, went on to become one of the most influential evangelists of his time. He traveled across America and the world, preaching the gospel to millions and leading countless people to faith in Christ. Edward Kimball's faithful witness to a troubled teenager in a Sunday school class sparked a chain reaction of transformation that rippled through generations. It reminds us that God can use even the smallest acts of obedience and love to bring about great things in his kingdom. You know, I doubt that Edward Kimball, I really doubt that he had any clue how this ripple effect was actually going to happen. This simple act of obedience, how it was going to make such an incredible impact. You know, the way that we live our lives and the ripple effect that we have on others, the influence that we have on others, it goes further than we think. And we need to realize that, and we need to steward that influence. That's what I want to talk about, is this idea of stewarding the influence, maximizing this God-given influence. God has designed us this way for a reason. And so we want to maximize it for the good of his kingdom. This influence that we have. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So it's very clear, right? Let your light shine that they may see. I think we need to see that as this calling to be an example that glorifies God and then causes others to glorify God with their life. Right? So we want to maximize that. And I think there's important questions we need to ask ourselves with this. Who is in my sphere of influence? When's the last time we've considered that, right? Who am I impacting? Who is in my sphere of influence? And what is it that I'm sowing into those people? And not only that, what kind of example do I want to leave those who follow in my footsteps? Because this influence can ripple for generations. You never know when you'll be talking to the next Dwight L. Moody, right? I've often thought in our home, like, what if I'm raising the next Billy Graham? What if I'm raising the next Chris Tomlin, worship leader, right? Like, and it's not about everybody being a teacher or a preacher and a worship leader. Of course, that's not everyone's calling. We know that, but you see what I mean, right? We are influencing influencers. And so we never know what God is going to do with that. Right? And so I just want to call us again to be aware of this calling in Matthew 5 to be a light so that others may see our good deeds, right? And by that glorify the Father in heaven. I want to just talk about two ways that we can steward this influence and be examples to the people around us. The first one is watch your life closely. Watch your life closely. 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. So in essence, it's saying, pay attention to the way that you live. Like, make sure that you're walking in godly character. He just finished telling Timothy, in verse 12, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, just a few verses before he says, watch your life, he says this, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. We remember that part, right? But then he says, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He's saying, walk in these godly characteristics, right? Of speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. He's saying, watch your life closely, because it's through these godly characteristics of our speech and our conduct and our love and our faith and our purity, it's through these things that we're setting an example to the people around us. I think stewarding our influence, it starts with our character. I think a person's character, it's this moral, it's their moral fiber, right? It's what they're made out of. It's the sum of their disposition, right? The sum of their thoughts and intentions and desires and actions. That's our character, right? D.L. Moody, the guy that I just talked about in the story, he like I said, went on to be a very well-known evangelist, and he said this about character. He said, character is what you are in the dark. So true, right? Character is what you are in the dark when no one's looking. Thomas Macaulay said it this way, the measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. It's a good way to think about character, right? And so this makes me ask myself this question, how does my character measure in godliness? How does my character measure in godliness? What are my thoughts, my intentions, my desires, my actions when no one's looking? When no one's going to find out, what does that look like? How's my character? right? I need to have that honest reflection, and I think we all do, right? My thought life, what's it like? What are my behaviors, my habits? What are my what's my feeding ground, right? Where am I feeding my soul from? Am I gracious toward other people? Do I have crutches in my life that I lean on instead of God? How's my generosity? How's my humility? How's my faith? How's my ability to see the best in people? What's coming out of my mouth, right? And the list could go on and on. Character, right? Character. God cares about our character. He cares about my character. He cares about your character. God is our Father, and he wants his kids to look like him. Right? We kind of have a certain expectation that our kids, when we have kids, they're going to look like us, you know, to some degree. And in the same way, right? God, our Father, the perfect Father, he wants our character, who we are, the moral fiber of our being. He wants us to look like him. And so he's going to work on that in our lifetime. And I think he's going to call us to grow in character. And a few of the ways I believe he calls us to grow in this godly character are first of all, by controlling our thoughts. How do we grow in character? We control our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Some versions say we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Right? So this talks about controlling our thoughts. That's what we're called to. That's an important part of character growth. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. It's addressing our thought life again, right? So it's very, very clear that what we think about matters. And I believe it's directly linked to our character. I believe developing godly character means thinking godly things. I think so often character growth begins in the way that we think, right? Our thoughts are so important, so we need to control them and work on by God's grace, thinking and controlling our thoughts and thinking about godly things. Secondly, the way we build character and the way God calls us to build character is by practicing godly virtues. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8, for this very reason, make every effort, and you can underline, make every effort. Every effort. We know it's by God's grace, but it's also an effort is needed on our part. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. Notice how these are all character traits, godly character traits. And to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who wants to be effective and productive, right? We all do, of course we do. And this is an amazing list of godly characteristics that we can paste and post all over our houses, and we can remind ourselves to make every effort to walk in these things. I know you've probably heard many sermons. You could preach an entire series on just that chunk of verses. But you know, sometimes we gotta kind of just break it down and pick one. You know, like I would encourage you as you go, as some homework, if you want, just meditate on that. Meditate on 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8, and take one and just put your attention and your focus on it. And let it actually receive some energy and some effort from you in the coming weeks. Right? These things in these verses, they should be actually drawing some energy from us. That's what it means when it says make every effort. It should be drawing effort. It should be drawing energy. And sometimes we think, yeah, cool, like we read that and we think, yeah, I should work on that. But if everything else in our lives and the demands of life draw our effort and our energy, and we don't leave room, we don't leave effort and energy for these things, then we can't intentionally grow in them, right? That's this thought of being intentional. So I want to encourage you, practice godly virtues, and this is an amazing place to start this week, today, right? Meditate on this, pick one, and zoom in on it. Pray on it, study on it, do a word search, do a word study in the Bible, and just go deep, and then build on it, right? Thirdly, we build our character by guarding our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. You know, our heart is this spiritual part of us where our emotions and our desires dwell. Our emotions and our desires. And this is a very key part of where so much of our life flows from. The Bible says springs of life. Some versions say it's the wellspring of life. The wellspring. I get this picture when I read that. I think about a spring in the forest or somewhere. And you think about how a wellspring, it brings life to everything around it. The animals come to drink from it. The vegetation all around it, it can live because of this wellspring, right? And so in the same way, that's our heart to the rest of our life, our emotions and our desires. And so we have to protect this part of us. And we can't let it get polluted because it damages other things around us in our lives and, of course, in the lives of others too. We got to be careful, you know, and analyze what we're feeding on and filter what we allow into our hearts and our minds. These are all parts of building godly character, right? Controlling our thoughts, practicing godly virtues, and guarding our hearts. And the thing is, you guys, I'm sure you know this too, that men and women of godly character, they automatically set a good example for the people around them. Like they don't even have to try, you know? Maybe you see that in your own life, and of course we don't want to become proud, but maybe a better example is you've seen that in someone else's life, right? Where they're just their character is godly, and you only have to have one conversation with them, and you know, and it's inspiring, and it just causes you, right, to also want to grow in character, right? It's almost automatic. When we walk in these things, we will set a good example for others. I think this godly character, this integrity, I think it's attractive. It catches people's attention, right? When we don't curse the way that other people do in our workplace, right? Or when we see the positive instead of the negative, or when we treat our business with integrity, and we stand by our word and we do what we said we would, we even practice self-sacrificial love in business, right? Like that stuff. It's attractive. Like people see that. People notice that, right? And this is all part of what I'm talking about, right? This idea of stewarding our influence, right? Building our character. It's so part of it. It's powerful. It's influential. Titus 2 verse 7, and you yourselves must be an example to them. And it tells us how. It says, by doing good works of every kind, let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. I like the NLT in that one. Reflect the integrity, right? So good. Proverbs 10 verse 9, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. So if I can encourage you that the strength of our character will determine whether we influence others for good or for bad, right? Because we are leaving a trail, either for the good or the bad, right? And so the strength of our character is a key part of that, and we want to maximize the influence that we have and continually grow in character. The second way to steward our influence is don't quit sowing. Don't quit sowing. Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know, Maybe you're a mom in the room and you feel like, man, I'm not sure that so many of the seeds that I'm trying to sow in my kids are taking root. Or for any of us who are intentionally trying to sow into people, right? To bring positivity into someone else's life, to bring godliness and influence into someone else's life. And it just feels like, man, this isn't going anywhere. I don't see any fruit. I want to just encourage you, don't grow weary. Don't give up intentionally sowing in faith, because we know that God will make it grow. He calls us to be faithful in planting and watering, but he makes it grow in due season. I feel that some of us just need encouragement. In that phrase, in due season, there will be a harvest. And so I want us to stand on that promise and claim that promise for ourselves and not let discouragement stop us from sowing intentionally, right? A friend of mine made this bowl for me some years ago. It's handmade on a lathe and it's really cool. He spent so much time and he left this really cool note on it for me. This is actually made out of an apple tree. And what he wrote on there for me to remember and always be reminded by, he says, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. That's so profound, right? So profound. Like, think about that. You can count the number of seeds in an apple. That's easy. But imagine, right, one seed turning into a tree and bringing fruit and apples for sometimes decades, hundreds, thousands of apples out of one seed, right? And so I just want that to be an encouragement to us today, right? We have no idea how far the seeds we plant will go. It kind of goes back to what I started by saying, right? We don't know how far they're going to go. And so we got to keep planting, being faithful, because I bet that they'll go further than we think. I bet they'll go further than we think. And so be encouraged to plant anyway and keep pouring into people, because there will be a harvest. I think about, you know, I was reading this week in Exodus 2, I was reading about the story of Moses and when he was born and how his mom had to put him in this little ark, is actually the word. It's this little basket thing. And it was this little ark, right? And she put him in the water, in the reeds, and she was trying to hide him, right? And the princess came along and found him, and you know the story. But we know that Moses went back to his mom for a while. We don't know exactly how long, but he went back to his mom. And we know that she, in the back of her mind, would have known this whole time, like, he's not really mine to keep. He's not really mine to keep. But think about how she sowed into him anyway. And think about the impact that had, right? Think about the fact if he had gone straight to the Egyptian palace, right? How different that might have been. And so she had this time without really knowing how it was going to turn out, but she sowed faithfully. I was so inspired by that. Don't you think she was glad that she sowed anyway? You look at the impact that his life had, and you just realize she was influencing an influencer. And so be encouraged, right? Just keep sowing. Hebrews 35 to 36. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Don't throw away your trust in him. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. I pray patient endurance over each of you today. Patient endurance so that you will be able to continue to do God's will for your life so that you will receive all that he's promised for you. That's my prayer for you. We want to do this, maximize our influence. We want to do that by watching over our life, by not giving up sowing. But I just want to close by saying this. We won't succeed in any of these things if we don't take the time to be renewed by God. If he's not our source of strength, we will not succeed in any of this in the long term. We've got to take the time to be renewed. You know, we had a pastor's conference at church just this past week in our Winkler church, and it was just such an amazing time. We had such awesome times of worship. And for me, I didn't have a lot of responsibility, so I could just kind of, you know, focus on praising God, being filled by the Spirit, and it was so meaningful. Because you know how in life we kind of just like get caught in with our heads down, and we're doing life and we're working and we're doing family and job and church and everything else. And we have those moments, you know, where we kind of come up for air. And we're like, oh yeah, I needed that. I needed that. I want to just encourage you with that simple reminder. Be renewed by God. Take the time in his presence. Take the time to worship him. Take the time to just sit with him and let him renew you and refresh you. I think we all need that, right? So we want to go after these things and make every effort, but that is such a key part, right? So just be reminded to take the time to be renewed. I want to close by reading Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." Hallelujah, right? "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Who wants to soar beautifully like an eagle, right? What an awesome picture of the strength of God and how as we wait on him, we are renewed in him. And he carries us through, right? Be encouraged. Amen? Stand with me as I close in prayer. God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord, that we can walk with you in this journey called life. Lord, we know that it's God-given influence and we have a purpose. We have a part to play. Lord, we're leaving a trail. Our life has ripples and we want to take that seriously and just recognize that the importance of this and the importance of walking in your will and maximizing the influence you've given us. Over our kids and over everyone around us, God, we want to maximize it for your kingdom, for your glory. I want to give us just an opportunity to respond to this message this morning, just right where you are. If you want to just pray and ask God, if there's a part of my character that you want to grow, that you want me to focus on, show me, Lord. I want to glorify you with my life. I want to walk worthy of the calling that you have for me. So help me, Lord, to make every effort. God, show me if there's an area that you want me to grow in. God, we need your strength to keep going. So we turn to you. And maybe your response today is just, God, I invite you to renew me. I invite you to refresh my heart, refresh my passion for you, refresh my energy. Just invite you, if you want to pray that, and just invite God to refresh you, do it. Refresh us, God. Lord, I pray your blessing on your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.